Chapter 7. Party Hardy. As we hurry down the marble stairs, I glance at my watch, which says it's 12:15 at night. Huh? It doesn't feel like it's 12:15. Oh, right. That's the time it is back home. I look for a clock and see that it's 6 p.m. here. I guess every hour at home is a day here. We have to be back home by 7 a.m., the time Mom and Dad wake us up. So we have 6 3/4 hours, which means 6 3/4 days here. That's tons of time to find the Little Mermaid a new happy ending and find our portal home. As long as my watch is right. We did take a bit of a swim. I hope this watch is waterproof. We hear the music from the ballroom and discover that the event is already in full swing. Since we're both starving, we make a beeline for the buffet. Vivian introduces us to Carolyn, the chef, who's setting up the plates of lobster sandwiches, mac and cheese, corn, and, of course, mustard. Lots and lots of mini bowls of mustard. Carolyn is wearing a poofy yellow chef's hat and a yellow apron. She's about my Nana's age. "Have you guys even tried ketchup?" Jonah asks Carolyn. "I think you'd like it." She makes a sour face. Ketchup? Too tomato-y. Jonah sighs. As we munch on the delicious food, we chat with the guests. Everyone wants to meet us, the children who saved the prince. "It wasn't just us," I tell anyone who will listen. "A mermaid was the one to actually save him. We only helped with the last step." "A mermaid? What's that, darlings?" asks the queen. "A half-fish, half-human," I explain. "That's impossible," the queen laughs. "You two darlings have fantastic imaginations." "Have you ever heard of mermaids?" we ask Vivian as she folds yellow napkins. "Half-fish, half-human?" "No such thing," she snaps. How are we going to get someone to tell us how to find the Little Mermaid if no one has ever heard of mermaids?
Psst. Hey!
Jonah and I turn around to see Carolyn the chef beckoning from a long hallway. Does she mean us? I ask.
"I guess so," Jonah says. "Let's go!"
Before I can respond, Jonah has already taken off after her, and of course I follow. I can't let him chase kind of strangers by himself.
"I heard your questions, and I have something to show you," Carolyn whispers.
"About mermaids?" I ask.
"Shh!"
She opens a door that leads to a winding staircase.
"Follow me."
We take the stairs down a floor until we're in the basement, and then we follow her into a small room.
You should see this.
In the center of the room is a small bed covered with a yellow comforter. To the left is a dresser. She opens the bottom drawer and takes out a drawing that's about the size of my hand.
"Look," she says, "careful."
I take the drawing and realize that it's of a woman. A woman with a fish tail.
"It's a mermaid," Jonah exclaims.
"It definitely is," she says, squaring her shoulders.
"I thought no one here had ever heard of mermaids," I say.
"They haven't," she says, "but I have. My mother gave this drawing to me. She used to tell me stories about the mermaids all the time."
"Had she seen them?" I ask.
"No," she says, "but my great-great-grandmother Edith did. She was lost at sea, and a mermaid saved her. She told my great-grandmother about her mermaid friend, who told my grandmother, who told my mother, who told me. I know everything about them."
"Tell us," Jonah exclaims.
"They live under the water, in a beautiful kingdom, with streets and houses and restaurants and clothes and everything. The girls are called mermaids, and the boys are mermen, and they all have silver tails, and..."
"That's not true," I interrupt. "We saw one. She didn't have a silver tail."
"She must have," Carolyn huffs. "That's what my mother told me, and what my grandmother told her, and what..."
Did your mom say anything about how to get the mermaids to come on land? I ask.
They can't, Carolyn says. Whenever my great-great-grandmother Edith wanted to see her friend, she had to swim into the sea. The mermaid even gave her a potion that let her breathe underwater for 12 hours.
Oh! Jonah's eyes light up. Let's take that! Do you know how to make it?
I shiver. I am not going underwater with or without a potion, thank you very much. There are sharks underwater. Sharks and other animals that want to eat me.
Carolyn nods. I do know how to make it, but I can't, because one of the ingredients is mermaid spit.
Gross.
Find me a mermaid, she adds, and I'll make you the potion.
Vivian spots us as we return to the party.
Where have you been?
She asks.
Just looking around, I say.
She scowls.
I hope you're not making a mess for me. Russell, come here.
A boy about Jonah's age appears at her side. His skin is suntanned and freckled. Like everyone else in Mustard, he looks like he spends a lot of quality time on the beach.
This is my son, Vivian explains. He can keep you two company. Russell, why don't you show Abby and Jonah where you play tetherball?
Let's go sailing instead, the boy says. I think the Royal Boathouse is still open.
Yes, that's a great idea. If we're on a boat, we'll be able to find the Little Mermaid.
We may not have an underwater potion, but that doesn't mean we can't search the sea.
No boats, Vivian snaps. It's almost dark out, and the sea is too rough.
Oh, well.
I love tetherball, Jonah says.
Russell nods.
Let's go!
I'm going to stay here, I say. The last time I played tetherball, I almost broke my nose. Tomorrow, we'll take out a boat. Nothing that will tip over. A rowboat, maybe. Then we'll find the Little Mermaid.